About all I knew. I'm going to tell you something about half of Guyana is probably saved because of those two people. The churches we went to, the one church we went to in a place called 63 Village, it got like 44 Village, 45 Village, 63 Village, and so on.
63. They have very creative names.
Yeah. This is getting close to the Suriname border, and you know, and when you think about going somewhere about 65 miles to us is really like an hour drive, but there that's like an overnight trip because you're, you know, if you worry about the roads here in Pennsylvania, you go down there, you have to stop for a couple cows, dogs, and people drying rice out in the middle of the street. It's that kind of stuff you're, you know, but anyhow. Anyhow, the pastor of that church was saved under the surge, Paul's. Patrick Finley's church was the first church, if I'm saying this right, the first church that they started. So there's a lot of influence, more than you would even know, you know, coming from Fiona's family. So, and he, yes, Fiona gets it from her dad. Yeah, but anyhow. So anyhow, she's got very good. The orphanage is really great. If you can be around 15 kids, I know the Mystics would do well down there. And I know I wish Julie would have been along. She because she likes to cook, but anyhow, you got 15 kids. They just want. It's so nice. They come up and they give you a hug. They hold on to you. They got a chance to, you know, shoot a little basketball with them, play with them, do some stuff. At nighttime, there's a Pastor Serge Paul does a devotional where he gets his electric guitar out, they sing some songs. I think those kids have more scripture memorized than I do. And they eat, you know, the kids generally eat first before the adults. And let me just touch with the churches. Today, you come here to church, and I don't know, you know, like some mornings you don't feel like coming, or maybe you don't appreciate the building so much. Last week at this time, you probably could have rang my shirt. I had the opportunity to preach in two churches down there last Sunday. I preached in The one I preached in the morning, Pastor Doug preached that at night, and then the one he preached in the morning, I preached at night. Well, let me tell you, they were nice churches too. But let me just put it to you this way: when you come to Victory Christian Fellowship, you get out, you have this nice parking lot, it's all paved, and like I did one of the first days I got down there, we stopped at Patrick Finley's church, I believe it was, and I get out of the car just to step in this great big pile, a big cow patty, because you got cows in the middle, you got cows, dogs, yeah, and whatnot, just
the wandering cows around. Graze everywhere.
Yeah.
In your front yard, on the streets, anywhere.
So imagine you're down downtown Palmyra because you're on your way to Funk's, which if you were in Guyana would be a Chinese restaurant. That's besides the point.
Yeah. 90% of the restaurants in Guyana are Chinese restaurants.
Right. So in other words, just imagine you're driving to Funk's and you had to stop. You know, you're going down Forge Road here. And there's a cow going. Instead of the railroad tracks, there's a couple cows that stop in front of you. Maybe then you go down to the main street, see a herd of antelope and a couple of dogs walking in front of you, but then let me go back to what I said. You come in here, you have this nice parking lot. You go in here, you have the bathrooms, which, you know, you go to a church in Guyana, you may or may not have a bathroom there. Then you come in here and you say, "Oh man, I'm thirsty." Well, there's a water fountain and I could drink it. And it's amazing, you know, because you can't just turn on a faucet and drink water down there. And you not only that, you're sitting here a nice hot July day, and you say, "Man, I'm a little hot now, but I'll tell you, you know, the AC's on in here. It's nice, it's comfortable." So appreciate when you come to church. Think about that when you come to church, and so it's a But it has been a blessed experience. We got to minister to a family. We got to preach. And the Schofield Bibles. I want to thank everybody who sponsored a Schofield Bible, because that was a miracle to them. See, Dickie, you come here to church, you have the bookstore here, and you could walk in there and you can say, I need a Bible, I need a book, I need whatever, and you can get it. You can go to a couple, there may not be any other ones in Paul Meyer. If you can't come here, you can go to, a couple places and get a Bible. You go to Walmart and buy a Bible. You go to a good dollar store and buy a Bible. But you don't have that down there. But so I would encourage you, it's good to serve. It's good to if you ever have a chance to go down there anywhere, it's a good, rewarding experience. And, come home. And it's always good to serve in some capacity.
Now, you got to tell them about the marketplace.
Oh, yeah. They tell you. Well, if anybody, I hate the organization PETA. That's no secret. Anytime I hear the organization people for the ethical treatment of animals, I can feel it rising up in me as soon as I hear about them on the news. So, a couple weeks ago, they're yelling because President Obama dared to kill a fly during an interview. But you go down here to the fish market, you got the fish on the ground. They may or may not still be alive, and they're gutting them right there in front of you. He's going like this. I could make you sicker than this. Let me tell you. I won't give you the details because you may lose your breakfast, but they do. They will. They're not afraid to butcher the chickens on the side of the road.
Yeah, so see, that was the highlight of last.
That was the highlight. I have pictures of that. That was.
We were at the Port Marant Market. We were coming back from an area of the country called Berbice, and they stopped. And if you need beef, chicken, or fish, it is fresh.
It's very fresh.
It comes from the water or the field to the table. And so they they kill the chickens there. They put them in water and they pluck them right there. And they got feathers everywhere and right there on the street.
That was so cool. That was probably one of the best. I told Pastor Doug that was worth my plane ticket right there. To see that. And then I said, if these animal rights activists that were upset at the president swatting a fly were here, they would hang themselves. They'd be hanging from a rafter somewhere if they went down to Guyana. So yeah, it was a good time. And I did mention the food was very good. Miss Sheila is a very good cook, and I got to try. Oh, by the way, seafood is normal down there. Here, it's something we like. Ooh, let's go to Red Lobster. This is we brag to our friends and coworkers. Hey, I went out and had some seafood last night. Down there, it's like, oh well, we're having fish and shrimp again tonight. Oh, there's no McDonald's either.
Yeah. I'm going to touch on that too.
The most important parts. Yes, I'm going to say about maybe 10 to 12 people between the two of us got saved.
It's actually more about 30 because.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In every service that we did, we had at least five or six people. And I'm talking young people. I would say, what'd you come up here for? And young people say, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. And I prayed for, five or six people every service. And we ministered to a family. They had a Thanksgiving service. The mother had lost her son 4 years ago in an accident. Yeah. He would have been 21 on that day. And so we went into their home and got to minister. We didn't even know that we were going to minister, we were just going to participate. But then we ended up sharing along with that, too.
See, I didn't know either. I mean, there was experiences the thing about a missions trip is flexibility. You don't know what you're going to do. You have I didn't know I was going to minister to people. I didn't know we were going to be on a TV program. I was treated, both of us were treated like VIPs. And The fact that I was treated very, very much like a VIP, that they like a couple of churches had me sit up on the stage, and I mean, We were treated very well. People were receptive. And some people might think, yeah, well, you have all this stuff here in America that needs done. Well, that's true. You do. But the word of God says to preach in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the four corners of the world. And how can they learn without, how can they be saved without a preacher? Well, sometimes God calls you to go, and you don't have to go for 4 years, but sometimes God calls you to do something. And I'm just wondering if we wouldn't have been down there, would they have been able to, would these kids, would these guys in this school be able to get these Bibles? Would some of these people have gotten saved? We don't know, but you just got to be obedient to what God tells us.
Amen. Thank you.
I just wanted to explain. You know, Les said, I know where Fiona gets it from. You know what they said about when they showed up for Thanksgiving service and then they didn't know they were speaking? And maybe I do this to you. I think this is what I do to folks at our church. But in Guyana, the thought is, if you're a Christian, that you're ready to serve.
Yes.
That's their thinking. Like when you come to church, you're a Christian, you have something to give of what you know. And the baby Christian, somebody who just got saved, they were like an alcoholic yesterday and they got saved today. By the time they come to church next Sunday, they're serving. They really, I mean, that's like the next progressive step. So sometimes I know I come up to you and say, can you teach the kids or can you do that? My thinking is you're capable of doing it because you're saved. And you know that you have your testimony, for one thing. And now, as Les is saying that, I realize, I think I do that. But in Guyana, that's how the churches, and the churches do grow quite large. Yes. But, you know, depth of the word is what they need because they just don't have the material. They just don't have the study things that we have over here. But salvations occur
and,
every service,
church
pretty
services
much.
Last anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. Like the church I preached at on Sunday, it's called Bible Victory. I kind of claim that as my home church whenever I go into Guyana because I've preached there every time I've been there. And service started at 11, and I started to preach at 20 after 12. So that's how it goes sometimes. But I finished up by 1. And The men's conference was there was about 250 men, and I really preached a hard message, and we had a very good response of people coming up, and you know, there's a lot to do, and so you guys have a sister work in Guyana, and someday you're going to get to heaven and you're going to meet people from Guyana, and you're going to say, well, I never knew you, but your seed has gone there, and you get the benefit of it. Amen. And so let's do our confession, then we'll dismiss the kids and get on with the service today. Please join with me. You can remain seated, but join with me in making our declaration. And probably in the next few weeks, we're going to revise this. Victory Christian Fellowship is a growing, thriving, and flourishing body of believers. We praise God and we have favor with government, businesses, and people in our region. God is adding to us daily such as should be saved. We love to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are soul winners for God. We prosper and are healthy as our soul prospers. We feed on the Word of God, and the entrance of the Word gives light. Victory Christian Fellowship lacks nothing and has a full supply to do all that we are called to do. God supplies our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our God is El Shaddai, and He is more than enough, all-sufficient, and almighty. We proclaim and demonstrate the love of God. We prefer others before ourselves. We obey the command of the Lord to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Each of us allows the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We trust Him to bring us into all truth. He shows us things to come. We are the Lord's sheep, and we hear His voice, and we do not follow any other voice. Our church has been given ministry gifts that are for the maturing of the saints. We are edified and built up. We are no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We do the work of the ministry. We are unified in faith, and we know that Jesus is the Son of God. We have been given God's divine power to receive all we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of the Lord, and we are partakers of His divine nature, and we escape the corruption in the world. At Victory Christian Fellowship, we are inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits. Amen. And before we dismiss the kids, I just want to tell you a joke. There was a guy who was traveling through the woods, and he came across a hungry bear. And the man began to pray. He said, he got down on his knees and closed his eyes. He said, "Lord, make this a Christian bear." And just then he opened one eye and he heard the bear praying, "Lord, I thank you for blessing this food which I'm about to eat." So could I have all the kids stand up? For kids' life. But how many love the Lord today? Amen. We're celebrating the month of freedom. We want to let freedom ring. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to be ministering on the subject of healing today. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm healed." Well, then you can use this to help someone who needs healing. Amen? You know, you can always get something out of the Word. And, you know, the kids at the home, they range from 3 to 13. And all of them can say a scripture with the all the way through the alphabet. They know the scripture and the reference. They'll give you like A, and they have a scripture that starts with A, and so on and so forth. And it's amazing. And there's been a tremendous change in the kids in the home. You know, some of these kids grew up in rough, rough environments. Some of their parents are in prison. Some of them are drug addicts and alcoholics. And some of them, their parents just don't want to take care of them. And so the home receives kids through the Ministry of Social Services. And that way everything is done right and proper. And in Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 20. And I just simply entitled this Freedom and Healing. How many know that sickness is bondage? But there's a freedom when healing comes. Amen? So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says, "My son," he includes daughters in there too, "attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh." Now, you see that word health there? That word is the Hebrew word marpe, and I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. And it literally means a medicine or a cure or deliverance. It means healing. So you could say that the Word of God is life to those that find them and medicine to all my flesh. Did you know that the Word of God is medicine to a headache? It's medicine to an upset stomach. The Word of God is even medicine to broken bones and torn ligaments. It is medicine to how much of your body? All your flesh. So from your head to your toe, the Word of God is medicine. It's health. The goal of the Word is to restore health unto you. Really? And so what is God's will regarding healing? Does God want you sick? I know some people say, "Well, the Lord will heal me if He wants." Let me just address that right now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about healing. God wants you healed, period. He wants you healed just as much as He wants you saved. Think about that. Because there were times when He would forgive sins of people who were sick and they got healed. So that tells me He wants you healed just as much as He wants you saved. And our God has made it possible. But you know what? Where do you find God's will? Do you get it from the radio? Do you get it from the television? Do you get it from your neighbor? Where do you find God's will? You are holding His will in your hand right now. The Word of God is the will of God. So in order for you to find out what God's will is concerning healing, you got to go to the source. Amen? I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we're going to find out what God's will is. What did God say about healing? Because the word is the final authority. And verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord will add unto you." No? Okay, there's two people that are awake. "The Lord will take away from you some sickness," right? All sickness. "And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you knew, upon you, but he will lay them upon all that hate you." I like that. So if people hate you, they're in trouble. Amen? But notice it says, the Lord takes away sickness. He didn't put it there. When it comes to sickness, the Lord is interested in taking it away. And he has several ways that he do that, but I'm not going to get into that right now. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Does your Bible say that? Say that with me. Say, God takes away sickness. Okay, go to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Now, let me show you something here. I have to dig in my pocket here. You know, you should never have too many things in your pocket because you might want to get something out of there. All right. Can I have a volunteer, please? I need a volunteer. Come up here quickly. Volunteer, anybody. Come up here. I need a volunteer. All right. Now, tell me what I have here.
Two quarters.
Okay, and what do I have here? A dollar. What should be better? Would you have the two quarters or the dollar?
I would want the dollar. My kids would want the two quarters.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something. Can you find these two quarters in this dollar?
Yes.
And then some?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for volunteering. See, it pays to be quick to volunteer. What is my point? If healing is in the Old Testament, it's included in the New Testament and so much more. If there was healing in the Old Testament, then there is much more healing in the New Testament because God hasn't changed. And what everything that's in the Old is included in the New. Just has an upgrade. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. Exodus 23:25. It says, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness from the midst of you." Say, take sickness from the midst of me. So this is a good prayer to pray over your food. Lord, bless my bread, bless my water. And he said, I will take sickness away. I want you to notice that everything so far that we've read about sickness, it's God taking it away, not putting it on you. All right, go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 and verse 26. Well, let's go back to verse 26. It says, "And if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and will keep all of his statutes." So you got to listen, you got to do, you got to keep. And you got to obey. He says, "I will put none," say none, "none of these of the diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you." Say, I am. Is that past tense or present tense? See, when it comes to healing, he is the healer. He said, I am Jehovah Rophe. I am the Lord who heals you. I am. I am. It's not I was. It's not I will be, but I am. He is the healer. You know, it's very easy for people to see Jesus as the Savior because he came to die. But sometimes we think that it's harder to see him as the healer. But seeing him as the Savior and seeing him as the healer are the same thing. It's just a different characteristic of God. But see, you've got to believe him. How many believe that the Lord is your Savior? All right? How many believe he's your healer? All right? It's the same Lord, same God. He just has many facets to his name, to his characteristic, to his nature. There are many facets of God. He said, I am the Lord who heals you. He heals you. He's in the healing business. He's in the restoring business. Let me tell you something about sickness. Sickness is a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Sickness will steal your time. It'll steal your money. It'll steal your energy. And it could end up destroying you. Now, there's no loving father that wants to see his child destroyed by anything. Amen? And our God is the same. Our God is much more. He said, I am the Lord who heals you. But notice, before he said, I am the Lord who heals you, he gave us some things to do, didn't he? What did he say? Diligently hear his voice. Do that which is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes. So in that respect, we can participate with him in his will to heal you. Amen? You know, because if you don't do what's right, you know what not doing what right is? It's called sin. You know what sin does? Sin separates you from the life of God. You know what came as a result of sin coming to this earth? Romans 5 says, when sin came into the world, so did death. So sin brings death to wherever it's at. So he is the Lord who heals you. All right? Now let's read a couple from the New Testament. Let's go to 3 John. 3 John. Now, believe me, there's many more scriptures that I could read on the subject of healing. All right? I'm just giving you a few. 3 John, right there before Jude. Look at verse 2. I want you to hear God's desire for you. Beloved, I wish above all things, say above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, when you have health and wealth, things are going pretty good, amen? You know, I find it that you can even pray better when you got health and wealth. You know, those are two things that can really enhance your prayer life. You know, what's the difference of praying when you're sick or praying when you're healthy? Well, there's a big difference. When you're not healthy, you don't have a desire to do what you want to do. You're prevented from 100% operating capacity, from doing the things that you want to do. But I want you to hear God's heart. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. But notice, you got to prosper inside before you see it outside. You got to see yourself healthy inside before it comes on the outside. You've got to believe you receive inside your heart before you ever have. So what does that mean? If you really believe in healing, then sickness should not be in your vocabulary. But now let me tell you something. When you initially say, okay, this is what I've got to deal with in my body. The symptoms are real. The pain is real. Everything related to the sickness is real. But it's not the fact. Let me tell you something. Just because it's real doesn't mean it's not the truth. The truth can change your reality. All right? The truth of God's word. When you have symptoms of sickness and disease in your body, that's a fact. All right? Those symptoms aren't real. I'm not saying deny the symptoms. But I am saying that you need to align your mind and your heart and your mouth with what God said about sickness. You can declare what God said about sickness versus the pain or whatever else the sickness makes you feel. You have a choice. You can say what you feel or you can say what God says. That's the difference. Beloved, I wish, I desire above all things, say all things. He wants you to have money and he wants you to be in health as your soul prospers. Does the Bible say that? Am I making this up? I didn't come up with this, did I? What are we doing? We're finding out what God's will is concerning healing. All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. How many are glad they came to church today? Amen. I'm glad I came too. You know, I have a good time preaching. I don't know if that ever comes across, but I enjoy myself preaching. I think church ought to be a place where you can enjoy yourself. You know what? I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. There's nothing to be ashamed about in this book. There's no promise that God made that we should ever be ashamed about. Matter of fact, I'll be bold about it. I told the men in Guyana, I said, you may not like this message. I don't care, but this is what the Lord put on my heart. This is what I've came to deliver. I'm not in a popularity contest. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. What did the leper do? See, others were just following along. But this leper got out ahead and began to worship. What does it mean to worship? It means to exalt his name. It means to honor him. It means to glorify him. It means to praise him. The leper did this in front of everybody, in front of the whole multitude. Now, in those days, lepers just couldn't go wherever they wanted to go. Matter of fact, they would have leper colonies, and you couldn't mix with society, really, because it's kind of a contagious thing. But the man had leprosy, right? He had a disease, right? He had symptoms in his body. That disease was affecting his body, wasn't it? But he chose to do something. I don't know if he felt like worshiping. I don't know if he had a hard time making his way through the crowd. I don't know. But he made an extra effort to get before Jesus and to honor him and to exalt him, to worship him. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now that tells me this leper did not doubt God's ability. He knew God could, but he wasn't sure if he was willing to do it for me. I believe you can, but will you? If you will. I'm not really sure what your will is, Lord, but I know that there's something about you that I'm really attracted to. There's something about you. I believe you have the answers. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made the effort of worshiping him. Why go through all that effort to come across someone that doesn't have the answer that you need? But remember, the word is medicine to all your flesh. And remember, Jesus is the word. So that leper, he came and he was worshiping the word. Think about that for a minute. And if you will, you can make me clean. Now let this be the answer for that question, does God heal? Is it God's will to heal? Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, what? What did he say? I will. Say, I will. Say, I will. If you have any doubts regarding healing and what God's will is, he said, I will. He didn't say, I'm able. He said, I will. He not only said it, but he touched the leper. He said, I will. See, there's more power in the word than there is in that sickness in your body. And when the word touches you, it's going to eradicate that sickness. It's going to make right that was wrong. It's going to stop the thief from thieving. It's going to bring a cure. And it was because he worshiped. See, him worshiping was the key that unlocked that door. See, many people want the Lord to come to you. Come to me, Lord, but that's not the case. You got to come to him. But I don't feel like it. Well, get over what you feel. Get over your feelings. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is like a treasure. And if you want to get the benefits of the treasure, you're going to have to do a little digging. You're going to have to do a little seeking. And this leper, he came to him. I don't know if you will, but I know you can. And Jesus answered that question forever. I will. Be clean. Notice how Jesus said, Jesus gave a command, didn't he? Jesus didn't pray for him. Matter of fact, Jesus never prayed for healing. Healing was always a command because it's always been God's will for us to be whole. When God first made man, did man come with a shelf life limit? Man is good for 70 years and then after 70 years it's going to expire. You know, sometimes we get those canned goods from the stores and you know, they're expired. And you wonder, now, well, I don't know if I should eat. See, man was not created with a shelf life. Man was created forever, and he would have lived forever had he not sinned. And it took sin 900 and some years to break down the body to cause him to die. Death was already in him when he disobeyed God. But it took 900 years to deteriorate the body because God made it so good. How many's ever cut their finger before? Show me the cut. Where'd the cut go? See, God even created your body to heal itself. When you get a cut, your body's designed to clot. It's designed to heal. Why did God do that? Why did God design the body to heal itself if he wasn't a God of healing? Think about that for a minute. When you break a bone, you can set it in place, and as long as you keep it in place, that bone will fuse back together. Why did God make it that way if he's not into healing? But Pastor, we're all going to die. Who says, why does sickness have to make you die? Why can't you just go to sleep and step over into glory? There was a story about a man by the name of E.W. Kenyon. He was an author in the early, maybe 1900s. And one day, he was eating breakfast and he told his daughter with a big smile on his face, he said, I'm going home today. So he went out on the porch, sat in his rocking chair, smiled, and that was it. Stepped over into glory that moment. My grandfather, who was born again, I had the privilege of leading my grandparents to the Lord. A year before my grandmother broke her back, I sat at her kitchen counter and I shared Jesus with her. And I remember she was crying and I led her to the Lord. A year later, she broke her back and went to heaven. My grandfather, who always wanted me to preach about health food, because he was very much into health food. I had one set of grandparents that brought me junk food. I had one set of grandparents that brought me whole wheat and sprouts. I don't know which one I like better, you know. Thank God that the grandparents that brought the junk food, I only saw once a week. But he was having his back had fused together and he couldn't walk anymore. And my grandfather was very much into dancing. He played the bass fit, the upright bass, and he'd play in these bands around the area, and he loved to dance. But he couldn't dance anymore because of his back. But you know what? In his sleep, he went on to be with the Lord. Just very peaceful. So don't tell me that you need to be sick in order to go to heaven. And matter of fact, the only people that God ever took to heaven, he took alive. Elijah and Enoch. Now, when you die, He receives those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. He receives them. But that doesn't mean that God took him. God is not a thief. God is a giver of life. Say, God is a giver. Say, the enemy is a thief. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. God doesn't thieve. You know, he gives. That's his nature. So this leper, he found out what God's will is, and the Bible says immediately his leprosy was cleansed because he found out what God's will was. You know, how do you find out what God's will is? Ask him. Say, Lord, what's your will? And then the Holy Spirit might take you to a scripture to show you what God's will is. Amen? So Jesus, he said in John 6, he came to do the will of him who sent me. So everything that Jesus did was God's will. Did you ever hear Jesus say when someone who was sick come to him, said, Lord, you know, whenever anybody that needed healing came to Jesus, he never said, come back tomorrow. He never said, my appointment's full. I can't squeeze you in today. You're going to have your sickness one more day. I mean, even Moses, he had the option. He gave Pharaoh the option. He said, you want me to get rid of the frogs now? And Pharaoh says, no, one more night with the frogs. What? You're going to keep this curse around for another day? Why? It was Pharaoh's choice to keep hang on to the frogs one more day. I guess he liked frog legs or something. I don't know. Jesus came to demonstrate what God's will is. And everyone that came to Jesus for healing left healed. There wasn't one he turned away. There wasn't one he said, I'm sorry, I don't have enough power. The only place that he could only do a few miracles was a place that didn't receive him as Lord. It was in his hometown. And they said, this is the son of the carpenter. This is Joseph's son. And the Bible says he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Well, I thought healing is automatic. No, it does require you to have faith. Sometimes. Now, there are times when God heals and you don't have to have any faith at all. It's called gifts of healing. It's called miracles. But you know what? We can't live by miracles, can we? Miracles are great when they happen, but the Bible doesn't say the just shall live by miracles. Miracle will get you out of a jam, but faith will keep you out of the jam. Let's go to Matthew. We're right there. Let's go to verse 16. You know, Jesus healed to fulfill Scripture. Look at verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought to him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Isn't it interesting how when people got devils cast out, there was also healing? Same anointing works it both, all right? So look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So what occurred in Matthew 8:17 with him healing people was a direct fulfillment of what Isaiah spoke. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. I'm telling you, healing is one of my favorite subjects to talk about. I have such a passion to see people healed. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. The Bible says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken. And those words, griefs and sorrows, are sicknesses and pain. They're the words macabre and coli. So he carried our sickness and our pain. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are what? Say, I am healed. Say, I am healed. I am healed. He'll heal your broken body. He'll heal your broken heart. He'll heal your unrenewed mind. He'll heal every part of you. There's not a part that God can't touch and heal. But then how come, but Pastor, how come some people don't get healed? How come some people end up going to hell? Huh? Did God send them to hell? No, he sent them Jesus to get them out of hell. He gave them every possible opportunity to accept his son Jesus so that they wouldn't have to go to hell, but some people still choose to go to hell. Well, some people just, they take ownership of their sickness. Let me tell you about my sickness. Yeah, it's a little pet. Oh, I love my sickness. Isn't my, listen to how my sickness purrs. Oh yeah, and they like to display it. They talk about it all the time. How are you doing? Oh boy, let me tell you, Pastor, whoo, I'm having a rough time of it. Really? Do you know that at the home, every night for dinner, there's a cat that shows up at the back door? When we're sitting at the table, there's a cat at the back there going, meow, meow. Why? Because the cat knows when it's dinner time. Because you know what happens? Someone gets tired of hearing the cat, they go put some food out there. That cat's smart. If you don't want the cat to come around, don't feed it. If you don't want to keep your sickness, stop feeding it with your negative words. Did you know that your negative words empowers Satan to operate in your life? I didn't know that. Well, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. So you got to choose the words you use carefully. Oh, well, Pastor, it doesn't matter really. God looked at darkness and he didn't say one thing about the darkness. He said, let there be light. He didn't talk darkness. When he was at Lazarus' tomb, he didn't say, my friend Lazarus, God took him. Oh, my Lazarus. No, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You notice in that scenario with Lazarus, Jesus did not talk of death. Except he had to tell the disciples, he kept saying, Lazarus is sleeping. They said, well, if he's sleeping, he's waking up. He said, listen, boys, you're not getting it. He's dead. Sometimes God's just got to talk to you plain, amen? Because we don't get it. So what occurred in Matthew 8:17 was a direct fulfillment of Isaiah 53:5. Go to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who his own self bear our sickness or bear our sins in his own body in the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Let me give you this illustration. When Isaiah was talking, he was looking ahead to the cross. He said, oh, when Jesus gets on the cross, that's when your payment is made. That's when your healing. Did you know that your healing took place when it was at the cross? That's when your healing was paid for. That's when the bill was paid. That's when all the benefits of heaven were made available to you, was at the cross. And Isaiah was looking ahead in the future. He was saying, when you get to the cross, you're going to be healed. You are healed. And then Peter, the cross had already occurred. He was looking back. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. And both Isaiah and Peter point to the cross as where you're healed. Healing took place. Let me tell you something. When you go to a buffet, now I believe in buffeting my body. You know, thank God that buffeting is scriptural. Paul said, I buffet my, anyway. Moving right along. Once you pay the bill, are you limited as to what you can take from that buffet? Once your bill is paid, you can go up there as many times as you want because the bill is paid. And let me tell you something, food tastes better when someone else pays for it. I don't know why that is, but it's true. Woo, let me take you out to lunch. Oh, I just got hungry all of a sudden. Praise the Lord. See, when you go to Guyana, things change. I'm kind of wound up today, aren't I? So once the bill is paid, you can take anything from that buffet that's available. Now, if the cross was the place where our bill was paid, then we can take anything that heaven offers us that's available on the table. You know what's on God's table? New wine, living water, bread, meat, honey, milk. He said, I'm going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. He said, if you're thirsty, come and drink of living water. He said, if you need a change, he said, I'll give you new wine. So there's all kinds of good things to eat. And your bill's already been paid. So why are you waiting for someone to pay the bill when it's already been paid? It's like the guy who was on the cruise ship. And he went on this cruise and he stayed in his little room and he tried to pack his lunch. But what he didn't realize was that he had access to the whole cruise ship. All the meals of his ticket were included, but he didn't know that. So it didn't make it, he couldn't make use of that until he realized that everything was included in the ticket. Now, I've never been on a cruise. I'm hoping to go on one someday. But I don't even know how I got off on that. But by his stripes, Jesus healed to fulfill Scripture. Both old and new come together at the cross. And it was at the cross that your healing took place. So what does that mean for you now? That means you just got to believe you receive your healing. It's already God's will. So pray in line with God's will regarding healing. Psalms 107:20 says he sent his word and healed them. Isn't that interesting? Mark 16:17, he says, this sign shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and what? The sick shall recover. Got any believers in the house today? It says believers shall lay hands on the sick. It didn't say preachers. It didn't say apostles. It said believers. Say, that means me. You mean I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Absolutely. What are you waiting for? When you're around sick people, say, let me pray for you. I'm telling you, every job that I had, I would pray for people. When I worked at the bank, if people dealt with sickness, I would say, would you like me to pray for you? And they would say, okay. We'd go in the back and I'd lay my hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, just touch them in their body, heal them. Every job that I was on, secular and you know, whatever, I prayed for people. Now, if they say no, then pray from a distance. I mean, if they say no, then guess what? It's not your fault. Just make the offer. Say, let me pray for you. If they say no, hey, it's no big deal. And you know what? Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Palmyra and Lebanon County, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Where did he do it? Among the people. He healed all, didn't he? It's his will for all to be healed, isn't it? If it wasn't his will, then why did he heal them all? God wants to heal them all. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Man, I'll tell you what, there is a healer in the house today. It is God's will for you to be healed. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. How many of us are anointed with the Holy Ghost? We've got the same anointing, the same Holy Ghost, the same power of God. And it's not in us, but it's in his name that we have this power. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. It's time for us, the church, to go about doing good. What good did he do? Healing those who were sick and oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Let me tell you something. The devil wants to oppress people. He wants to torment people. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. But we have the power to stop him. And it's time that we go about doing good that Jesus went. When you hear of your neighbors that are sick, you know, every time Gabriel is sick, he gets a bump on his head. What do? The first thing we do is we pray. In the name of Jesus. That's the first thing we do. And usually that's all we have to do. Because healing belongs to us. Now let me skip to the back here and let me just talk about some different methods. You know, there's more than one method. And you really have to follow the Holy Spirit to determine what method God wants to use in that moment. Jesus never healed people the same way. There were some blind men that he spit in the ground and put mud in their eye. Here's mud in your eye. Well, they came out from mud in their eye seeing. Others, he would tell to go show the priest or go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man with the withered hand, he commanded him, stretch forth your hand. So there are many methods or ways that healing comes about in a person's body. And you gotta ask the Lord, okay, what method do you want to use now? What medicine do you want me to take today? You got to let the great physician, Jesus, prescribe what medicine is for your situation for this moment. You know? Because today, there are medicines that are for women and there are medicines that are for men. And men, you don't want to get them mixed up. You know? So we see here in Matthew 4 that healing came about from teaching and preaching. Jesus taught, preached, and healed. Those are the three main things that he did. Can healing come about as teaching? Absolutely. Because what happens when you're sharing the word, the anointing is here, the power of God is here, and you can receive from the word when it's being taught. You don't even have to be prayed for. Do you realize it only mentions in the Bible a couple times about praying for sickness, and it mentions it in James? Mostly sickness or healing was a command. But we pray for healing a lot. Nothing wrong with that, but you know, the Roman centurion, his servant got healed just by speaking the word. So you really got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, healing came through the laying on of hands. He touched the leper. And, you know, the Bible says that as believers, we can lay hands on the sick. There is a transient. God designed the anointing to be transferred. And one way that it can be transferred is through the laying on of hands. And that's why the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Because you don't know what they have sometimes. You know? But it can come through the laying on of hands. Matthew 8:8, that's the centurion. It came as a result of speaking the word of God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Are you still here? Amen. And we're gonna ask you to come up and receive healing if you need healing in your body today. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 23. Well, go to verse 22. This is when he dealt with the woman with the issue of blood. He said, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. What made her whole? Whose faith? Her faith. Do you realize that in the Gospels, there's about 19 different cases of healing that the Gospels tell us about. 11 of those 19 were healed by their own faith. So you tell me, what is the majority of ways that God heals people? Faith. Your faith in Him. Your faith in healing. How do you know if you have faith? Faith is shown by what you do and what you say. When you're speaking the problem, you have faith in the problem. When all that comes out of your mouth is the problem, the problem, the problem, then you have faith in the problem. How do you change that? You got to get different information. You got to go back to the book. See, here's what I think when people miss it. I think often people are too quick to pray for something without going to see what God said about it first. We ought to go to the Word, and we ought to find out some scriptures that deal with our problem. Find out what God says about it, because faith comes by what? Hearing what? The word of God. So when we're too quick to pray, when we haven't gone and strengthened our faith, built up our faith, and we're praying and it doesn't happen, what happens? That leads to disappointment and discouragement. But disappointment and discouragement could have been solved by simply going to the word first. When Jesus was walking this earth, he was the word in the flesh. So when people were coming to him, they were bringing people to him, they were bringing people to the word. Bringing people to the word, bringing people to what God said, bringing people to the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word is the only thing that can create faith in your life. Faith doesn't come by anything else but by hearing the word of God. And really, if you want to speed up your faith, hear yourself speak faith. That is the best way for faith to come to you when you hear yourself say what God said about your problem. That is how faith will come quickly. Verse 24. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. Now, I want to tell you something. Sometimes when you take a stand of faith, not everybody's going to understand. Not everybody's going to go, oh, yay, you're in faith. Jesus walked into this room and said, the daughter is not dead, she sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, see, that's what you got to do sometimes with those thoughts that come against you. You got to put them out of your mind. He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. And go with me to Mark chapter 9, and I'm getting ready to close. Mark chapter 9. I want you to see something here. Look at verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So how many things are possible? All things. Why would he say, if you can believe? Because sometimes what we believe is not true. Now, the Bible says, if you continue in the word, you will know the word and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what happens if you're knowing a lie? What happens if you've been under the belief that when you pray for healing, you say, God, if it be your will? You don't have to pray if it be your will when it comes to healing, because God already established what his will is in his word. So if you're praying, Lord, if it be your will, heal me, you're praying incorrectly. That's not faith. And when we don't pray in faith, we're not going to get the results that the word tells us that we can have. You've got to pray according to the word of God. If you can believe. If you can believe what? If you can believe God's word as the truth. And if you're fully convinced that it cannot go any other way. You've got to believe it's true. You've got to be convinced of it. And you've got to stand on it without moving to an inch. You cannot move an inch. You must see yourself healed. You must speak yourself healed, because that is the only evidence we have that you really believe. Because when you believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. Notice, when you believe, it opens up the door of possibility, but when you confess, it brings it into the material. Romans 10, 9 and 10, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth. You need both. You need the believing in your heart, you need the confessing in your mouth, and both must line up with the word of God. If you vary in your heart or in your mouth, if you vary with the word, it's not going to work. You're not in faith. And I would encourage you to study all the times where people got healed and record what they said, what he said, and what happened. And you'll find out how faith operates. I can remember one time I was in New Zealand, and we were at like this open air market type thing, and I don't know if I ate something wrong, but my stomach was upset. I felt like I was going to, you know. And I'm walking around this market, and I kept telling myself, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you are my healer. I said, Lord, I thank you that I am healed by your stripes. Lord, I am healed. It took me 45 minutes of walking around and saying that. 45 minutes, but you know what? After that time was up, I had no feelings of nausea whatsoever in my stomach. And I didn't, because there wasn't really a place where I could, you know, anyway. So you got to do what you got to do, amen? And sometimes we want everything to be done for us. Well, if you've got two legs and if you've got two arms, you can carry your plate to that buffet and you get your own food. Now, if you're incapacitated, I'll be more than happy to help you. But if you can walk up there, you can get your own food. So that's what healing is really about. It's how bad do you want it? What are you going to do? Come and get it. Come and receive it. It's yours. It's already been given to you. It's already been provided for you. It is a package. You know, when you sign up for an employer, they give you a benefit package. And there are things that are included in your benefits. And Psalm 103 says, He heals all my, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and bless His holy name, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all my sins, who heals all my diseases. Healing is a benefit for every single believer in the name of Jesus. It is a benefit. So you come and get your benefit. Come and receive. Lay claim to what is yours. And it'll be yours when you come with that attitude. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord, that it is your will to heal. We thank you that you healed according to the scriptures. You healed all, and you have so many ways of getting healing to us, Father. You're so good. You're so gracious. We love you. We appreciate you, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So if you're sick in your body today, I want you to come and receive healing. Amen? Maybe you know someone who is sick, and take this message and minister to them. Amen? Show them. Show them what God's will is. Hallelujah. If you have sickness in your body, you know, one method, the Bible says, if you call, if you're sick, you call for the elders of the church and have them anoint you with oil. Lay hands on them, and it says, when they pray the prayer of faith, you shall be saved and you shall be raised up. So there's power. Amen? But so if you're dealing with any type of sickness in your body, today is your day where you can be healed. Just as in Jesus is here. Amen. His word is here. You're coming to the word. You're not coming to me. I couldn't heal a fly with a headache. But Jesus can heal all. Amen. You come receiving from the Lord, not from the preacher. Amen. So if you're dealing with sickness in your body of any type, come up now in Jesus' name. Come and be bold like that leper was. Like that centurion was, like the woman with the issue of blood was. Come. Come. Come unto Jesus.